While you're standing, if you turn to Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So our words really mean something. There is power. Some of us have been encouraged by words that have been spoken over us. Some of us have been discouraged because of words that have been spoken to us. And now if you'll go to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty serious stuff. If you consider that every word, well, you'll have to give an account. That's why we have a brain that operates the mouth. But you have to engage the brain before you engage the mouth, because one day we'll have to answer for what we have said. Lord, we're again grateful for your word. Bless it in your holy name, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have been listening to Rush Limbaugh for as long as I've been pastoring. He started on the air in 1988, and I started pastoring in 1988. He has been the greatest voice for conservative America. And he would always start his program with talent on loan from God. He would bring God in the equation many, many times, and he wasn't afraid to say the right things to whoever listens. He wasn't worried about offending people with truth. He was free from that, where so much of the media isn't free. They want to please their particular audience, if you will. Well, last week he died after a year-long battle with cancer. There were literally millions of people who have been praying for him. It was stage 4 lung cancer when it was diagnosed, and he prevailed for a while. And today they played an excerpt from something that he said in 2019, and I was listening, and he said, don't let the voices of people who are negative define who you are. Don't let them bring you down. Don't worry about what other people think about you, because if you do, it'll hamper what you become. Or even things that have happened to you dictate who you are or what you become. And a lot of people are paralyzed by some incident that happened that perhaps they think, well, people are looking at me or thinking about me lesser than what I really am. He said, if I would have allowed those voices in my life, I would never have been able to become the voice of conservative thinking in America. Preachers can get to the same place where they're worried about what the congregation thinks, and they want to say things that would please rather than the Word of God, you see. Did you know God is a conservative? Amen. He's God, and he's not going to change, folks. He wrote it down so there wouldn't be any mistake. I know people will speak for God. Well, God feels. No, you better be careful when you say, God told me, when it doesn't line up with what the scriptures say. Now, the point being, we can't allow other people's comments or even negative situation to define who we become. We need to consider the source of who is speaking to us. You know, are they spiritual? Are they living the life? Maybe I'll take some interest in what they're saying. But if they're not, things or probably should be just discounted or discredited. Too many people have surrendered their lives because of other people's opinions of them. Oh, I know they don't like me, and so I have to go in a corner someplace. You know, that's where Elijah was. You know, he thought there were so many people that were against him that he decided to check out of the ministry completely. There are people who bring in false narratives, and the main position of Satan is to give you a false narrative of who you are and your value to other people and your value to God. You have to understand, let's look at God's perspective, not people's perspective, and once you get to that place, you have become free. You know, because I know I'm lining up with God's word, so I'm really not concerned about what you're saying or what your attitude is towards me. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. It's his main job to somehow get you to think that you're less than what you really are. And if we aren't aware of God's value of us, we will believe the lie and sit on the bench. I can't do it, you know. See, you don't understand my past. And I don't know yours, thank God. In fact, the Bible says you don't have a past because he forgets all your sins. You are born again. And from that point, you don't have a past as far as God is concerned. He doesn't remember your sins. I don't know how that happens, but it's true. The main function of the church is to influence people that are around us. That's why he left us here, so we can somehow influence other people. Ask yourself, if everybody in this church were just like me, what kind of church would this be? Glory to God. The sound of our voice makes a big difference in the people around us. We influence people every day by what we say to our children, to our spouse, to people at work, to strangers, what we say to saints. And sometimes that's even the greatest point because we take liberty because we know each other so well and we see situations in other people's lives. You know, maybe you'll allow God to speak to them before you speak to them. Glory to God. We are God's voice to all of those that God would want to save. And you want to make sure you temper your lips that we don't say something God wouldn't approve of. Words in anger can never be taken back. So that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. Proverbs states that the awesome power of the tongue, those that love death or the negative, they will reveal it by their conversation. And they will, as it says, eat the fruit or suffer the consequences of such talk. Those who love life will also reveal it by their conversation. Yet they will enjoy the rewards of their right use of the tongue. When you use your tongue in order to heal people, you notice dogs got it licked. They use their tongue in order to heal, you see. There's something built in them. And when we see someone who's hurting, the best thing you can do is use your tongue in order to help them heal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this only happens once in my childhood, because for the most part, I was a model child. Apparently, I must have said something really bad when I was a child. I think I was maybe 22, no, 7 years old. I really don't remember what it was, but I remember the consequences of what I said. My mother took a bar of soap and made me hold it in my mouth, and I don't remember how long it was, but I was blowing bubbles for days, you know. She said that she was washing my mouth out of the things that I had said. Anyone have a mean mother? Glory to God, yes. Now that's why you're here, because of a mean mother. Glory to God. In Matthew 15, the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus and said this, "Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders?" The traditions of the elders. "For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." So let's look at that scripture in Matthew, the 15th chapter. Matthew chapter 15 and starting in verse number 10. "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Well, we would want to offend the Pharisees, you know. "But he answered and said, Every plant which have heavenly father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us the parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defileth the man," or polluteth the man. So if I'm saying negative things, I'm actually polluting myself. I'm defiling myself. If we could just understand that we have to guard our mouth from what we say, because everybody knows about washing hands. We're living in a year where we got to cleanse and we got to cleanse and we got to cleanse. But maybe we ought to cleanse our mouth. It goes on to say in verse number 19, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Hallelujah. So what defileth man the most is that which cometh out of the mouth, not that goes into the mouth. I just want to free some people tonight. I don't know how to say this, but we're living in an age of Facebook and, you know, multimedia and all of this, and we promote ourselves. And sometimes we take the liberty to say things when we're not face-to-face that can be just as harmful as if we were face-to-face with people. Ever wonder why God used evidence of the tongue as a sign of receiving the Holy Ghost? It's because if God can control your tongue, then God can control you. It's the last member of the body to yield to God. Some of you came in here into the church, that is, and you couldn't control your tongue. You used profanity. But when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, when God got a hold of your tongue, now all of a sudden when someone used the name of the Lord in vain, it was like somebody stabbed you. You felt like, oh, that's just terrible, you see? And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, you see? I want to be under the control of the Holy Ghost. I think everybody should want to be under the control of the Holy Ghost. And we build ourselves up on our Most High by praying in the Spirit or praying in the tongues. More people are lost out of the church because someone didn't control their tongue. And we can get offended by what someone said, and death comes by the power of the tongue. Because what's at stake is our salvation. If we offend somebody, it's hard to take those. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So let's take a look at the tongue chapter. James, the third chapter. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, but hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So God's saying, you know, we could justify, you know, I need to tell them. And God's saying, no. No, that's not the place. The tongue can defile the whole body, and we all have voices that live in our unconscious mind, some good, others harmful. The dumbest saying that I've ever heard is, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's not true. There are some things I remember for years back that have been said, and I have not been able to get them out of my cranium. You too have heard words, perhaps when you were even young, that have somewhat defined who you are or limited where you can go, you see. Can you remember words that hurt you? Voices of people, living or dead, which reach up from yesterday to pull you down someplace. A voice saying, you can't amount to anything. Who are you? What a laugh. You are as dumb as a rock. You'll never get married. College, come on. All of these things limiting your future because of words that have been said maybe even years ago. And God says, hold it. I've got a new agenda for you. I've got a word of encouragement to you. Don't let somebody else pull you down when God is trying to lift you up, you see. Psychologists call it basement voices. Remember those who drop subtle hints about your inferior qualities? It's amazing how we store those comments forever, and somehow we forget some of the compliments that people have given us. It shouldn't cause each of us to be careful, or it should cause each of us to be careful of what we say to others, or even about others. Do my words have sustaining value or a positive influence, or are they of a toxic nature? Am I bringing somebody down? Now, I love truth, but sometimes when it comes to people, it's not always wise to tell them exactly what is true concerning them, you see, because it doesn't help. It's not gonna make them better because of what you say. In our senior year, we had a counselor come into high school trying to help us determine what we were going to be best suited for. And I remember being in a room with a counselor, and I was told I should look for a job in a shop, and I didn't see any potential of working with people. And maybe they were right, you know. My first job out of school was as a claims adjuster, and every day working with problems with people, you know. They told me I'd be better as a welder, and maybe that would have been easier. I didn't have the aptitude for anything else. That's what they said, and I can still remember where I was sitting there and the tone of the voice, and it had an effect on me, you see. I mean, how could you, in 15 minutes, determine the future of someone? And I'm telling you, in those early years, it was most difficult for me because I didn't know what I should be because I was torn between opinions. Sometimes it's good to get another opinion, you know? Like, what did Jesus say? John 15 and 16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it." God chose me? Wait a minute. Maybe I am qualified to do something great. You see? Or God's opinion of me in 1 Peter 2 and 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people," hallelujah, or "bought so he could surround himself with us, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see, that's the kind of counsel I need. I should remember those words instead of getting down because something didn't happen. Maybe go back and say, you know, God chose me. What's always amazed me is that he didn't choose people in the ministry when he came to earth. But he chose fishermen and farmers and tax collectors, you know, those you wouldn't think, because he was looking for a heart condition, not a head condition. Sometimes it's easier to get people saved who know nothing about God than people who have had years and years of religion that you have to turn upside down, you see. I remember sitting at my desk trying to put together some notes for the first message that I was asked to preach. And I was so frustrated. You've heard me say this before. I worked all Saturday on it because I was to deliver it on a Sunday morning. And I just went to bed frustrated. And God woke me up early in the morning, and he gave me a scripture, Matthew 3:17. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. It wasn't that I had a great content. It wasn't that I was going to bring revelation. But my heart was right. I wanted to do what was right. And God said, that's what I've been looking for, you see. Gideon hid behind the wine press as a coward. And everybody knew he was a coward. And God said, thou mighty man of valor. Whose opinion? I like God's evaluation of us better than everybody else's evaluation of us. And we stand in judgment by this world every day for what we stand for. But if we worry about the judgment of those who don't know God, then we'll never accomplish anything for God, you see? Watch out for basement voices. They're always critical. They're always judgmental, with the emphasis on mental. We have heard these basement voices. Joseph's brothers told Joseph that he was a dreamer. They threw him in a pit and tried to sell him to a caravan of Ishmaelites. But God said he will one day rule Egypt. Hallelujah. Maybe there isn't the confirmation from God as yet, but as long as we take his opinion rather than everybody else's opinion, there is a promotion coming your way. Oh, but thank God for voices that come from the balcony. These are the people who inspire us to do all we can and be all we can. Parents who constantly encourage their children. You just don't realize how important it is from early age to tell your kids how great they are and what they could accomplish and what their potential is. We could go through scripture after scripture of fathers who gave the blessing to their sons, their daughters. Teach them what the Word of God says. Bring out the best of what they have. I still hear the voice of my grandmother and her confidence that she had in me. A coach in high school who put me on the varsity when I was just a sophomore. A battery commander in the Army who challenged me and then promoted me to be a sergeant. If they had confidence in me, then I could have confidence in myself, you see. These are voices from the balcony, people who have been instrumental in my life and instrumental in your life in order to bring you up to a place where God could use you. You have confidence in God. Every time the preaching of the word goes forth, it is confidence that God wants to use you. You're better than what you think you are. A pastor who tells you it'll be all right when you're in the hospital or at a gravesite or at divorce court. I'll never forget Brother Dean Dixon at 93 still encouraging me, preach it straight, Pastor. I'd come in, he'd be already here many times. He's sitting on the last pew, and he'd reach out and grab my hand and said, give it to him. Preach it. Don't water it down, man. And you know, that encouraged me. Because that man had been around a lot longer than I have, and he's experienced what Pentecost really was all about. Hallelujah. Over the past several months, I've had many people from this church encourage me. I can't tell you how much that means to me. Saturday after prayer, there's a whole group of people gathered around me, and they simply said, can we pray for you, Pastor? And I'm thinking, maybe I have some value. Thank God for balcony voices of encouragement. We need each other. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. I wonder how many times someone's walked into a church service thinking, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And then there was a voice from the balcony saying, yes, you can. I hope you have some balcony voices in your life. Every time someone steps behind this pulpit, it's a voice of encouragement. They're shouting, you can make it. God loves you. Angels are rejoicing over you. God's got something special for you. A lot of you have had words of encouragement through the gifts of the Spirit that said, God's going to use you. A couple of months ago, there was a lady in the church after Saturday morning prayer that came up to me and said, I have a word for you from God. He is so pleased with all of the years that you have been faithful to him in preaching the word and ministering to people. I'm appealing to you tonight to be a balcony voice to somebody else. A word of encouragement. When you come in, instead of just waiting for something to encourage you, maybe you ought to look for somebody that you can encourage. Somebody has gone through something, you know it. Sister Carpenter and what she's gone through, it'll be a long time before she can get back to that place where she was. But she needs people to encourage her. That's the function of the body, you see. A new convert, someone in the ministry, people everywhere have a craving to be appreciated, you see. If you don't feel appreciated, you just won't last. Some go through pain that perhaps you have already experienced, and you can be that balcony voice for them because you've gone through exactly what they have gone through. Some of you have gone through operations, and you're in a great place to encourage somebody who's going through an operation now. I got a call from Brother Putnam a week ago, and you know, the doctors are saying that it looks like you had a heart attack. Part of your heart isn't functioning, and I don't know if it's getting blood or not. And Brother Schumacher, I'm a little concerned about having a heart catheterization. And I said, well, you know, my wife has gone through about five of them. And my wife called and talked to him about the procedure that she went through. And later his wife called my wife and said, you can't imagine how important that was. You see, it's a balcony voice. Amen. How often a timely phone call, you know? Sometimes prompted by the Spirit can make all of the difference in people's lives or just a touch letting them know, you know, I'm there for you. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter? First Thessalonians 5, verse number 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Hallelujah. The Bible is filled with people who encouraged others with their words and with their actions. In Hebrews 11th chapter, it's a wonderful litany of people who have encouraged us from voices and actions from the past. Imagine people 2,000 years ago encouraging us today because they've gone through some things and they were faithful to God, even though there was a number of people who were trying to knock them off their spiritual stand. Abraham, Rahab, Moses, Noah, and many, many others. What influence these people have even today on our walk. What did Joseph go through in order to be used by God? What did Jacob have to go through in order to be used by God? And it's not much different today, folks. We're living in a world that just, they really hate Christianity because they don't want to abide by the rules. They want the commandments to be broken again. All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, read the word and be encouraged by the evaluation of God. Let God do the appraisal, not somebody else in your life. You see, they don't see the value that God sees in our lives. Those of you who are fighting the fight of faith, listen to the voices from the balcony, listen to the preaching, listen to the evaluation that God has in his word, specifically for you. I was so down that day, I remember it so clearly, and God says, my son in whom I am well pleased. Me? It encouraged me to go beyond. Perhaps if I hadn't gotten that word from him, maybe I would say, no, you know, this isn't going to work. Run on. You can make it. A balcony voice or one from the basement. That's the call. Which do you want to listen to? Which would you rather hear? If everybody here were just like me, what would our church really be? Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am so grateful that God put people in my lives to encourage me to go forward. And so many times it's just been at the exact point of my life that I needed a voice or somebody to be there to encourage me. That's the influence the church has. The altar's open. Would you come?